Greetings, pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob, and this is Saturday, February 20th. Saturday, February 20th, our fourth installment of our Lenten daily devotion. Well, I want to get right to it today. We've got some beautiful monks. Well, I guess their music is beautiful. I'm not really sure if they're beautiful. We've got some beautiful chanting going on. This is a new group of monks. It's a 10-day domine, a Gregorian chant for Lent. So I hope you enjoy that in the background. The apple harvest candle is ready. We've got a blended tea today. Scrumptious, the chamomile, rooibos, and kava tea. Triple threat coming at you today. Well, we move on in Mary Alice Mulligan's devotional, Go to Jerusalem, right? And remember, this week, the question has been, what does it mean to go with Jesus? What does it mean to go with Jesus? And as we've been doing, we'll have a scripture reading, a little devotion from Mary Alice Mulligan, a little journal consideration or things to think about, reflect upon. Now, we're going to change things up a little bit today with the Rumi poetry. I think I'm sensing, and you probably sense it too, because Rumi is challenging, but I feel like the poetry is not adding to the devotion, although it's wonderful. So we're going to try something new today and maybe a few other things down the road. If you have a suggestion for something at the end, please let me know. It's usually where the best ideas come from, right? The Spirit of God is with the people of God. But today we're just going to hear a few of Rumi's famous quotes. As good as his poetry is, and as deep as his meditations are, he's also just known for his quotes, usually taken, or sometimes taken, from a poem or a meditation, but sometimes not. And I'll share a few of those with you, including my all-time favorite, of course. Okay. Well, another sip of tea. And let's settle in for today's devotion, the fourth day of Lent, Saturday, February the 20th. We begin with a reading from Psalm 73, verses 21 through 26. Psalm 73, 21 through 26. Now prepare yourself to hear the word of God, because that's what this is. So when you open your Bible this morning or this afternoon as you're listening to this, just consider that opening up of that Bible your invitation right there to let God into your life and to take Jesus' hand on this journey today. Just opening the Bible is a sign that you are inviting God in and willing to reach out and take the hand of Jesus just for today. So the psalmist writes in Psalm 74, and this is really a psalm that is a reflection psalm. It's a song of self-examination and honesty, but also honest about the God we have and considering the way we are the God we need. And that's exactly who we have. So, starting with verse 21 and going through 26. Then I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by all I had seen. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Amen. That's worth coming back to a couple times today. But that key line in there, and we know that was such an honest poem, that's why we love the Psalms so much, just hits the nail on the head for all of us, doesn't it? Something in there made your hair on the back of your neck curl up right there, I promise. But that line, you hold my right hand. You see, we've been devoting about that all week, and now we hear the truth from the Bible. You hold my right hand. Mary Alice Mulligan writes this. If we get honest, none of us faithfully follows Jesus Christ every minute of every day, no matter how hard we try. Amen. Can we just put that out there? Okay? If we get honest, none of us faithfully follows Jesus Christ every minute of every day, no matter how hard we try. And usually for me, Pastor Bob speaking, trying is part of the problem. Me trying, right? Mary Alice Mulligan goes on, even Sunday school teachers and church prayer warriors falter at times. Everyone gets distracted. We get careless. However, we have chosen to take this journey with Jesus, imperfect as we are, ready to end up in a new place. Amen. So what does it mean to go with Jesus? Well, first it means being open to God's lead. Being open to God's lead. None of this co-pilot stuff, as I wrote in Wednesday's Vision article, none of this co-pilot stuff. Get your luggage and go back to coach where you belong and let God fly that plane. Amen. First, it means being open to God's lead. The journey is spiritual, you see. So we must trust God's guidance. This psalm reminds us of one thing that will help us, flawed humans that we are, and that one thing, desire. We need to desire God. And so, we check ourselves. As we commit to this journey, can we again place our hand in Jesus' outstretched hand because we trust His counsel? Can we believe that whenever we falter, the Holy Spirit is always ready to help us regain our balance and guide us back onto the path? Do we desire closeness with God? Amen. Well, if you have a notepad there or an iPad or anything beyond or in between, you might want to consider and reflect upon a couple things today. Consider your own level of trust. Now think about that. Truthfully, what is your own level of trust in God's ability to accompany you on the journey? Just put that out there. How much do you trust God's ability to accompany you on the journey? Again, do you trust Jesus, even if the path is taking you someplace unknown? When you put your hand in His hand, do you trust Jesus, even if you look up and you're going someplace unknown? And another, can you stir up your own desire for God's presence in your life? Can you shake yourself up and drum up a desire in your heart for God's presence in your life? As you reflect upon those things, If you're feeling God's presence right now, write a thanksgiving to God. Just a short thanksgiving. However you choose, whatever form, whatever words. Write a thanksgiving to God. But if you feel spiritually dry, as we all do at times, or even empty right now, spiritually dry or empty, then write about those feelings. Just put it out there. Get it down on paper. Let yourself look at it and see it. Write about those feelings, confident that your willingness to keep reaching out to God will result in eventually sensing God's strengthening presence. So either way, a thanksgiving to God, feelings of dryness or emptiness, either way, you are not abandoned. Amen. Well, what a good devotion that was. Amen. There's a lot to think about, especially in this season of Lent, this time of self-reflection. And well, that was such a good devotion, and not to mention the scripture reading, again, Psalm 73, verses 21 through 26. I think I'm just going to give you one little short recitation, one statement, one quote from Rumi today to close us out. And I might be doing this more and more because I think the poems in some way might be detracting maybe from the devotion. So let's try this single Rumi quote to come down the home stretch today. Rumi says, "Let the waters settle, and you will see the moon and the stars mirrored in your own being." You know, that's such a powerful visual quote from Rumi. Let the waters settle. Okay, that's step one. We need help with that, Lord. And when the waters settle, we will see the moon and the stars mirrored in our own being. That we are indeed a part of creation, not separate from it. That all of the things that were created in the very beginning are still here and we're made up of them, right? But the problem in our life is boulders keep coming at us, big and heavy and hard. And if you take a small pond and someone throws a huge boulder into it, it's totally disruptive. It creates churning and waves and ripples for quite a while. The anxiety that pond feels from that boulder is seeable and tangible. And when it's in that state of being churned and rippled, the reflections are hardly seeable. They're vague and cloudy, if they're even there at all. You see, that's what happens to us in our life. Stones and rocks and boulders get thrown into our life and unsettles our waters. And when our waters are unsettled, then we don't see things clearly. And we miss the most important things because we're so caught up in the boulder experience, right? Well, we ask God to help us let our waters settle so that the reflections become clear. And then we can see the moon and the stars mirrored in our own being. And God can do that. We're living lives so filled with anxiety, we don't even hardly notice it sometimes. What a freedom it is to live free from that anxiety. God can do that. Rumi says, "Let the waters settle, and you will see the moon and the stars mirrored in your own beginning, the elements of creation. All of them still here today, and we're all made up of them. What God did on the first day is start to make each of us." Now still, your waters and see that reality. All right. Here's our prayer today. Merciful Savior, you are my heart's desire. When I wander away from you, please draw me back into your care. Thank you, and amen.